Good to have this good number this evening. We have some visitors with us this evening, and you may have never participated in a service like this. So let me explain that we do this occasionally. I will preach on a subject in the morning, and sometimes you hear a man preach and you have some questions about what he said, but you have no avenue to address those. And so in the evening, we'll have a forum where you can raise questions or make comments about the lesson in the morning. So if you have some questions about anything I say tonight, you feel free to ask about that. When we're finished with these forums, it doesn't mean everybody agrees on every point. But what we want everyone to understand is this: I am not the authority. The elders are not the authority. God's Word is the authority. And preachers need to be willing to be questioned. And so it's good for me, and it's good for the congregation, because it's your responsibility to weigh what you hear to decide for yourself whether or not it is the truth. So we welcome each and every one to our forum tonight. We established in the beginning of our lesson this morning two facts that I want to mention again this evening that are critical to the study. One, God does care about what men wear. That's clear. We looked at some verses that make it obvious that God knows what we wear and cares about what we wear. So when we sang these songs, "Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you," like we just sang, then that will be reflected to some degree in the way that we dress. The second thing is, it's a clear fact, whether we agree on the details or not, that dress can affect and reflect morality. The Scriptures teach that very clearly. Common sense will teach it as well. But we established that from some passages this morning. So if someone were to ask you, where would you turn in the Bible to discuss some principles that have to do with dress? Obviously, there's no passage that says someone's dress has to be so long or so high, or pants have to have certain degree of looseness when you put them on. There's not that kind of thing, but there are principles that are involved. And so we opened our Bible to Colossians chapter 3. And we look at these five words. There are other places we could have turned, but these are a good foundational beginning point. Things that as a Christian we are to be dead to, that is, have no activity in. And we're not to allow the members of our body, whatever part of our body that is, to be used to promote or engage in these activities. The first one is the word immorality or fornication, which has to do with unlawful sexual activity. It was their broader word for that in that day. The second word is the word impurity, and it's the word that has to do with those things that lead to, contribute to, motivate immorality. So it's a step short of it, but it's associated with it. And if you were to do a word study, you would find it associated with it throughout your New Testament. The third word has to do with emotions, passions, feelings, sensual feelings contextually. And not only has to do with the sensual feelings we shouldn't have, but obviously, if we're striving to be like Christ and to honor Him on His throne, as the first four verses say, we would not want to do anything or dress in a way as to stir those feelings in someone else. And that's where dress becomes a very important issue. And then the fourth one is evil desire. We had the word passion, but here it seems to be a word that points to intent, that we want to do something, and that affects the choices we make. And that's why people sometimes dress the way they do. Inwardly, they want to be seen. They want the looks of others. They want the sensual attention. And so he talked about evil desire. And then finally, that fifth word, this version uses the word greed. Your version may use the word covetousness, which is a word that has to do with strong desire for something. Here it's not money, but it's the desire that has to do with these sensual terms, so much so that it becomes a god, which amounts to idolatry, the verse says. In other words, you will not listen to reason, you will not listen to counsel, you will not listen to anything. It's, I want to do it. So, that's where we based our lesson this morning. Then we began to branch off from that with some applications as to dress. Now, we ask for questions for our study tonight, and I've already had some questions that have been submitted, so I'm going to deal with those first. Some of these we dealt with in our morning study. And so as I go through these, if you have a comment or a question, if you'll raise your hand, we'll try to be sure and give you an opportunity to speak. If I don't see your hand, somebody behind you sees a hand raised that I don't see, get my attention so I don't miss anyone, okay? And if we have trouble hearing you, we've got a microphone right here, and Chad right here will get you this microphone so your comments or questions can be heard. All right. So these are some questions that I was asked relative to this forum tonight. One has to do with guys and wearing shorts. And I suppose that has to do with do the principles that have to do with the kind of dress people wear, does it pertain to men? We know that there is a stronger emphasis on the attire women wear. That's true. We know that women or men are more quickly aroused by what they see on a woman. But is there any reason to have any concern about how a man dresses in public? And so we address that this morning. What is there in our society that indicates it works the other way around that we talked about in our lesson this morning? Does anyone remember? That women, what?
There are clubs where men are exhibited.
That's right. There are what you might call striptease clubs, but it's the men who take their clothes off for the women. How could a club like that exist if there was no appeal of a man disrobing? What about things you can purchase?
Lingerie.
For men?
Well, no, not for men.
Not for men. But you can purchase a calendar. I hope you can't purchase lingerie for men. I can. But I wouldn't know about that. But anyway, calendars where men, of course, display their body, just like women display their body, and those are in high demand. And so these are some of the indicators that women indeed can be impacted by the way men dress. And I mentioned in the lesson this morning that I have been personally approached by young women who ask me to say something about the men because they were ready to confess that that did indeed affect them. And so I think any godly thinking man will take that into consideration. And so a lot of judgment involved here, obviously. But if we're going to strive to do what we sang about, that is to glorify Christ in our life, would we want to do anything that might jeopardize that? And so, or would we want to be a light in the world and avoid those things that might be questionable? There are other thoughts or comments on that point before I move on. I was asked a question after the morning lesson. It's a good question. And a young man asked me, well, what about if it's just a bunch of boys together out playing or maybe by yourself? Can you go without a shirt? And my answer was certainly. That's a different situation. And that was a good question. And so there are circumstances where certainly a fella can maybe wear swim trunks or whatever. When I was in high school, we had a swimming pool. And the boys swam and the girls swam. They were totally separate. And the boys would wear their swim trunks. So that's a different type of situation. And so that was a good question. Yes, Lisa?
Well, what if it's a public school type setting and it's all boys and everything, but in today's society, if we're trying not to draw attention to ourselves, in today's society, you, even if it is all boys, you could in a wrong way.
If it's a gym class and they're all boys and there's no other girls around, what is there about that I'm missing? What is there about that? There is that problem in our society, and I discussed that with the young man who asked me that question. That's an issue I didn't have to deal with when I was growing up. But there are boys now that, of course, claim that they have that tendency toward other young men. And if you're aware of that, then that might throw a wrench in the thing. But generally speaking, that won't be the case. And so I don't know. I don't know enough about homosexuality to know if a young man who's got his thinking all twisted up is affected by the other young man's looks, or it's just a desire he has regardless of what they look like. Because I see guys, I guess, are homosexual guys, and I can't understand what in the world one sees in the other. Of course, I don't see any man that looks attractive to me at all. Most of them are ugly, but be that as it may, I don't know that the form there has anything to do with it. Now, a man's form can be appealing to a woman. Doug brought to my attention a number of verses before the lesson tonight. One was Genesis 39 and 6, where Potiphar's wife observed that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Not that Joseph was dressed in a bad way or anything, but if indeed to that woman he was something that was appealing, if he had have dressed or been in a state of undress, it would have heightened that situation. As far as I know, Joseph did nothing to justify her lust for him. But it's interesting that the scriptures themselves talk about a man having a form that may be notable by the opposite sex. So that's an interesting thing. Any other comments or questions about that one?
Steve.
Yes, sir.
You could also go back to John 21:7, the example of Peter in the boat when he was stripped for work and put on another coat and went back to shore. When he was in the boat, he was with other fishermen. So that would be an example of men with other women.
Okay, that's a good response, Matt. So here's a bunch of fishermen just out fishing, and they were not totally naked, evidently, but naked as they would use that word in the New Testament, John chapter 21, that's indicated. And then when he saw Jesus, he put on a garb, and that's interesting too. Why? Unless it was the sense of the fact that Jesus was more than a man. I don't know. But that's a good point, that here are these bunch of fishermen out in a boat. There's nothing sensual about the fact that they're not the way they would be in public. And evidently when Peter felt like there was a different circumstance, he decided to put more clothes on. So that's a good observation that Matt makes, and that's in John chapter 21. Okay? All right, the next question, and a very good question because it's so appropriate to our society, it's about leggings. When are they okay to wear? And this was pertaining to dressing for your body type and age group. Is it okay for some to wear leggings and not for others? So just recently, Craig Ottersback put an article in the Humble Messenger about leggings, if I can find it here, by David Dieselkamp. Excellent article about leggings, somewhere here in these notes. But nevertheless, David talked about this very fact of, here it is, about leggings. David Dieselkamp is a gospel preacher up in Illinois. And since some of you weren't here this morning, let me just take a little bit of what he said here. He entitled his article, very interestingly, "The Emperor's New Clothes." Of course, based on that story, you know, where the emperor was naked, but he didn't see it. Everybody else did, but he didn't. And the idea that sometimes we don't see ourselves like other people see us. And I'll tell you what, that's got to be true. I wonder, did people not look in the mirror before they left home? You know, what's the deal? But anyway, that's got to be so. And so this leggings thing, he says, for those who aren't caught up in current fashion, aren't sure exactly what I'm talking about, leggings are skin-tight spandex that people are wearing as if they wear pants. Let me stop a moment, because one of these other questions has to do with wearing short skirts with spandex underneath. I'm not sure. I'm not up on women's garments enough to know what all that entails, but if that's leggings, then this deals with that. And so he said, leggings were designed to wear under clothing or with a skirt. Again, I'm not an expert on women's clothing, but that would make sense. And but now they're being worn as though they were pants, when in fact they're not. Of course, lingerie, clothes that were once lingerie, is now being worn as outer garments. That's the society in which we live. We looked at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 this morning. Just turn over there to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Where he talks about the conduct and the character of a woman that's a godly woman. You'll see that in verse 10. Women who make a claim to godliness. Now, godliness is not being like God. That we ought to try to be holy like God. But that's not this word. This word has to do with an attitude toward God. A reverence for God. And it colors everything we say, think, and do. And so here he's discussing the idea of a woman attiring herself, and actually her attitude about that, whether or not she's drawing attention to herself or not. And so he said here in this particular text, he said, this is the New American Standard Version, which I use. There are times I think they've not, personally, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I've got other versions to compare with, that I think they've tried to help the English reader, but I think they actually took away something from the text, and this is one of them. It said, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. Modestly, they've changed that to an adverb. It's not an adverb. It's with, and then there's a word that the King James translates shamefacedness, and the American Standard, shamefastness. Now, you may get an idea what that means from those words. It's having a sense of shame. The context, verse 9, were these women who wanted to adorn themselves to be seen. And in this context, overdressing. Expensive clothes and jewelry and the way they fix their hair. No sense of shame. And he's encouraging women not to have that kind of demeanor and attitude. And so, modestly means with shamefacedness. So before a godly woman goes out, she's going to look in the mirror, or ask her husband, or young girl ask her daddy, maybe. I don't know why daddies don't tell their girls the truth about these things. You know, is this appropriate? Is this going to honor God? Should I be ashamed to wear this if I'm a Christian? With shamefacedness or shamefastness. That should be part of her character, rooted in her character when she determines how she dresses. Now, here overdressing, but it would apply to underdressing just as well. We read this morning some quotes where in the first century, the Gentiles would wear garments of silk because it emphasized the human body, because they cling to the human body. Well, this would be unlawful and to a person who was a Christian. So with shamefastness, and then it says, and discreetly. Again, they made this an adverb, but it's actually with sobriety, with soberness, with good judgment, balance, sensible judgment. And I'll tell you what, folks, the way some women dress, it's not sensual appealing, it's downright ridiculous. It makes you want to, I don't know what, but anyway. Maybe I better stop there. But it's just no sense at all, the way people dress, what people see. We're not the world. And godly women need to dress with some degree of judgment and sensibleness. Young girls growing up, they're innocent, they're pure, they don't know about these things maybe. They may dress in ways that are sensual and not even realize it because they don't think in that vein. But God gave them a mom and daddy. Mom and daddy know about those things. They know about those things. Talk to your girls and talk to your boys. It may be unpleasant, but that's your job, to talk to your boys and girls. I'm assure you, folks, they're going to talk about it at school, or their friends will. They're going to hear about it. They're not going to escape it. And so with shamefastness and sobriety, that's what's to characterize a woman's dress. So the matter of leggings, David continues, he said, these leggings are designed to accentuate every curve and leave little to the imagination. It is as though a person can be acceptable as long as skin isn't showing. That virtually painted on clothing is enough. And we see way too much of that. I mean, it's shaming the way women will wear clothes that are so tight. Pants that are so tight. I don't know how they even got in them. And I guess it's this stretch material, I guess. But to be say that's comfortable, I tell you what, I'm not a believer. I have a hard time believing that's comfortable. There's another reason you're wearing that. So leggings worn, I guess, as they were intended originally, I don't know. Does anybody know more about that, the original intention of leggings? More than I do? Nobody's going to say a word, huh?
They started as workout apparel.
Workout apparel?
Yes.
Okay. So now, of course, they're worn without regard of what they show. And so, you know, you don't have to be unclothed to be sensual. I noted this morning in the lesson, although I did not read all the quotes because we were very limited for time, but down through the centuries, it's been evident that the scantily clad body may be more provocative than the nude body. Here's a quote from a book by Jerome and Julia Rainier. This was 1959, but it said, Greek men, like modern men, responded sexually to the half-concealed, half-revealed female form. If you were in the lesson this morning, I read about silk in the first century and why it became popular with the worldly group of the Gentiles. Here's a very interesting quote. It's not intended to be condemnatory. It's just observational. It was in the Houston Chronicle, of all things. And it's talking about some kind of leather shirt. It says, the lacing on the leather Western shirt shown is undeniably provocative. In other words, sometimes these shirts they wear have lacing, but they reveal parts. It's just suggesting. It's just take a peek type thing. It's designed to be provocative. It's not for comfort. And so that's that observation. An M.D. and Ph.D., I don't know any more about him, fellow named George Crane, and something he wrote, said when a modern girl tries to attract men merely by her anatomy, she's imitating the method of the commercial prostitute, who does likewise, unquote. We talked about that this morning. So I could multiply those quotes, but the fact is, I'll tell you what, the dress designer, the clothes designer, hard to find even a full dress anymore, the clothes designers know that just suggestive clothing is powerful, and that's why they put on the ad, sexy. Do you want your daughter to be sexy? And then come here and sing the song, I'm going to be more like Jesus. I'm going to let Christ's life shine through me. Really? Really? Think about that. So, David, in fact, in his article, he said he's not trying to say leggings are wrong anytime, anywhere, but there are circumstances, the way women are wearing them today, they're just totally inappropriate. And draw attention to the Christian that should not be. So that's one of the questions I was asked. And any follow-up on that question about leggings? Well, y'all are making it easy on me tonight. Okay. What? Back in the back. Hold on here. Wait a minute. I'm gonna get you here. Okay, take this thing back here. Hand it to him. Green lights on. We got to get Mark. We got to get him on this mic so when he talks, we'll be able to hear him. All right, Mark Hargrove has a question.
No, brother, I don't have a question. I have a statement.
A comment. All right, good. That's even better.
1 Timothy 2:9, it's interesting that the word sobriety is used. Having done armed and security work and working in some rather difficult places, when people are not sober, when they're drunk, and the concept is, there's nothing that they won't do that when they were sober, they would have never done. God's trying to get to the restroom. He's out of his mind with liquor or something else. And he can't find a restroom. He can't find a building. Yeah. He's at the red truck stop. He may stop in the middle of the roadway and truck stop and just start relieving himself. And the females can get drunk aren't much different. So this idea of sobriety, judgment, the drunk person has no judgment. The sober person does.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Saved.
Yes. Hold on a minute. We got to get. Come on up here. Come on up here, Chad. Right here. This gentleman right here. Raise your hand, Bill. So there you go. All right.
I believe that since I'm 21 years.
Hold on a minute. Is that thing on? Is the green light on? Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. All right.
And I spent the first 21 years of my life in the world, including 3 years in the Air Force, and I've seen everything in my mind that there is to see that's filthy, lewd, and left, and there's nothing left to the imagination. I believe that these clothing that ladies wear in like a bathing suit situation are men in the same situation. Or in any low-cut blouse that some ladies might wear, and various other types of clothing, leaves more to the imagination than you actually can see with the naked eye. Therein, I believe, is most of the sin, in my opinion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Just punch you, there goes orange. Okay, now, you know, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer this question. Just hold on to it, Chad. Ask you a question. Does it make you any difference at all what Mark Hargrove or Bill Rao thinks? You say, that's their opinion. Let's suppose it is. It is. Okay. Still, does it make you any difference what they would think about you if you dressed in the ways that they're describing? Should it? You know, if we're going to guard our influence for good, if we're going to provide for what is right in the sight of man, Romans chapter 12, shouldn't that make a difference? So here's a godly man of many years, served as an elder. Here's Mark Hargrove, a godly man. What they think, whether you see eye to eye on every point, it looks to me like a godly woman or man, that would have some weight. Any comment? Okay, and I appreciate those comments. All right? Yes, sir. Hold on. Give me the mic there, Chad. Okay, Rocky's got a comment.
Steve, I just had a general comment just on the subject on modesty. I think this subject is very important. It keeps us alert to what's going on in the world. And when we look at society, it definitely can see a problem. But when I look at the women and the girls here in this congregation the last several years, I think they, it's my judgment, that they have dressed very modestly, very godly, and been very considerate about what they wear. And I personally would like to commend the women and the girls that have been here, because I've had no problem, and I think they really make the effort to examine their dress, and to me, they're very modest. So, if we talk about the subject, a very, very important subject, if we look at the world, what about the women here? How? What about them? My judgment is they dress very modestly and godly.
Appreciate that, Rocky, and we appreciate the women doing that. Now, I don't know what you ladies do when you leave here. I don't know what you do at the beach or at the pool. But I think Rocky's observation is a good one. Unfortunately, that's not always been the case with everybody that's attended here. We've had visitors attend, and we're glad to have them, but it's unfortunate that I feel sorry for the guy that's waiting on the table. When he passes down the aisle, he sees a lot more than he wants to see. And it certainly doesn't help keeping his mind concentrated on what he's doing. So that's a good point that Rocky makes. Of all places in an assembly where we're concentrating on worshiping God, should our dress be such that it's not drawing attention to ourselves, the wrong kind of attention especially? And so that's a good observation. I appreciate the ladies and appreciate Rocky's comments and the girls who've tried to observe that. All right, any other comments before I move to this next point?
Steve.
Where do we have a comment at?
You're getting a little feedback on the microphone. Make sure that's...
Is it off?
Yeah, you can hear it up there.
Okay, we'll just turn it off. How's that? Okay, we had it on mute, but I guess it was still picking up something. Okay.
How do you turn it off for whenever somebody else goes?
When you get ready to turn it on, just hold that button down until it turns green, and it'll be on. Okay, thanks, Chad. Okay, and then here's a question. How tight is too tight? Now, wait a minute. I can't answer that. I'll tell you this, though, baby. If you got to ask, the person who asked this question doesn't have a problem with that. I know who asked this question. But if somebody is having a problem with that question, that may answer the question. In other words, if you got to ask that, maybe you better get a bigger size. I don't know why women wear those so tight clothes. Does it make you feel better when you're a size 12 to wear a size 8? Is that just pride or something? I don't know. But obviously it's too tight. If there's a question about it drawing sensual attention, stirring passion, those five words we talked about, would people look at you and think pure or impure? Would men, and there's a lot of men in the world that have no shame about looking at women and lusting after them. And so when they look at you, would they be stirred? Mark mentioned about working in security. More than once, I've seen signs that have been posted in a detention center, that anybody that enters that detention center, they can't be wearing these halter tops, they can't be wearing shorts, they can't be wearing clothes that show their middle section open. And you went, why? And they've been asked why. Well, because it causes problems. That's interesting, isn't it? And so that's security. And so those kind of signs have been there. So it's a reality of the world. Look, that's just the way we're wired. And, if we weren't wired that way, we wouldn't even be here. That's part of what makes the world go round. But there's a wholesome way in which that's to work, and it's not for the public. Any other enlargement on that, Keith? Right here, Mr. Keith.
From the standpoint of a godly Christian woman not married, and then coming from the standpoint of a married man, you look at it from marriage is a woman leaving her parents and cleaving to her husband. We went to 1 Corinthians 7, and it's you're giving your body to that person. You go to Proverbs 5, and it talks about enjoying the body of your mate. Why would you want to display what should be that person you're going to marry? Why would you want to give that to someone else? Why would you want to display somebody else? That's an intimate part of that relationship. So for me, it's a matter of keeping in mind that is to be that person that you're going to marry from the standpoint of an unmarried person. From the standpoint of giving up your virginity to the standpoint of displaying your body, that is meant to be for that person you're going to spend your life with. Why would you want to display that for them? And if that's the only reason why they're interested in you, then maybe you should reevaluate the relationship. That is something that's to be given to your mate and to be shared with your mate alone. And so think about that from the standpoint of when you dress or go out.
Excellent point. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, along the line of what Keith is talking about. Paul is writing about the marital relationship in the first five verses. Look what verse 4 says. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. What's implied? There's an implied interest in a marriage to the other person's body. It's wholesome. It's healthy. But now back up for just a moment to verse 2. Each man is to have his own wife. Each woman is to have her own husband. Does this not accord exactly with what Keith is saying? That your mate is yours and yours alone. That's what you pledged when you marry, wasn't it? To give myself to her and her alone and vice versa. Then why would you want to display yourself to everybody on the street? That's, you belong to that person, that woman or that man. That includes your body. And so honor the God-given relationship. That's an excellent point that Keith makes. Does anybody else want to comment on this? Oh, by the way, on this question, I thought it interesting. It said, modesty isn't just about being fully clothed, but also about not accentuating or flaunting your body. That's exactly the context of 1 Timothy 2. They were the idea of flaunting their body with overdressing. And in contrast to that, there's this sense of shamefastness and sobriety. That's a good observation. All right, and then wearing short shorts with spandex underneath. I don't know if I've covered that or not. Now, we talked about shorts in our lesson this morning. And, you know, this article that I referred to, you know, we don't like to talk about these things. You ever watch the news? You ever see the news on TV? You ever have the news on in your house when your children are there? This is from Fox News. This is not Playboy magazine. This article I talked about, Mom Slammed Target Walmart for these hooker-style shorts for tweens. Talking about moms, not preachers and elders, moms concerned about the shortness of shorts for their girls and the message that it's sending. So I thought that was a very interesting observation there. Doug, in the sheet that he handed me before the forum tonight, he had some other verses on here showing how the body does talk about men observing the form of a woman's body. Genesis 29:17, Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Esther was a beautiful form and face. Esther 2:7. And then the Song of Solomon, where these two people are in love, and you have the phrase, her form is lovely. You know, when you talk about Esther, go to the book of Esther just a moment. And so, you remember that Esther, by God's providence, was used to save the nation of Israel. And so finally, she was going to do a very risky thing. She was going to come before the king. And those kings, if you weren't invited and you dared come in his presence, they could order you put to death just like that. And so she's going to come before the king. And she wants to make a good impression. So what does she do? Verse 5. It came on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's rooms. And the king was sitting on his royal throne in the throne room opposite the entrance to the palace. When the king saw Esther, the king, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight. What if she had said, it don't make any difference what I wear. She wouldn't put on some old raggedy clothes. She could have been totally dressed. What was Esther aware of? Clothes affect the way people think about you. She knew that. There are clothes that are appropriate for certain times, like waiting on the table. There are some clothes that's just not appropriate to wait on the table. They might be fine for playing basketball, but not appropriate for waiting on the table. Clothes affect the way people think. There's some clothes that's just not appropriate anywhere in public because they affect the way people think. Okay, I've got about 5 minutes left. Got another right here, Chad.
Shorts, they were basically underwear. And my parents told the coaches that I couldn't wear that. And so my mom made me some shorts to match the color and everything of the girls' shorts, but to match that were knee-length. I called them my bloomers because they were kind of baggy and they weren't tight-fitting and they were to the knee. And I say that to say that we can live in society and we can be an example of what is modest and show other people what is modest. And I think that influence was beneficial to me. I found out later, certain guys, you know, I run into them that I went to high school with, they kind of liked me, but they knew they would have to go through Mark Hargrove. So that eliminated certain, things happening, certain unwanted attention. So I think it's very powerful, fathers talking to their girls and being that impactful.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Lil. That's good. Another comment over here, Linda. If you'll get that to Linda, please. While you're getting that to her, let me just mention, I just spoke at Ben Collins' funeral up in Las Vegas, New Mexico, as you know. And I just made an observation in my comment that Ben Collins was a man of the world. Whatever men of the world did, he did. He wasn't a Christian, didn't grow up in a home where there was morality. And then all of a sudden, one day, he met this weird girl. She didn't drink, she didn't party, she didn't dress in the way that women dress, she wouldn't do the things other girls did. And he thought she was pretty weird, but he fell in love with her. She converted him. He became a Christian, a leader in God's church. And so what influence can one godly woman in an ungodly world, if she'll conduct herself properly, have on somebody? We just don't know. And so girls don't have to give themselves away, give their bodies to anybody. They can live a godly life and maybe influence somebody for godliness. Good observation. Appreciate that, Lil. Okay, Linda. Good observation. Thank you, Linda. And that's exactly right. And clothes do affect the way you feel about yourself, and that's good. Well, my time is up. I wanted to talk about these. I mentioned in the lesson this morning that in 2006, a questionnaire was passed out to the men about different kinds of clothes to the East Side Church of Christ in Baytown. And they would answer this questionnaire, and then those that wanted to would put some comments. So I thought, we'll do that at Humble. So I did that in 2007. Very, very interesting. Not only the answers that came in, But the comments, some of the comments, look, it's 6 o'clock. If you need to leave, go ahead. You're not going to hurt my feelings. But let me just say a word or two about these comments. For example, one of the questions was, what about bare midriff? That is bare tummy or waist. Is it visible? Does it invite lust for you? Was the question. You answer yes or no. Here at Humble, the answer was 21 yeses and 2 no's. 21 yeses, 2 no's. Garments that mimic underwear. Yes or no? Does it incite lust? 17 yeses, 4 no's. So some garments may be covering, but they're designed to make you think a certain way, but it may make other people think that way as well. See-through transparent clothing. 21 yeses invites lust. 2 no's. And there's a number of others I put on here. There is one comment that I do want to read. And I don't know who wrote them because these were anonymous comments. So this was in 2007. This comment was, this past month on a morning radio program, it was the consensus of all the male callers to the show and the male DJs on the program that, quote, every guy who sees a woman dressed in a way that is not completely modest at some point visions her naked or in underwear and thinks about sexual activity with them regardless of whether they are attractive women or not, unquote. That was on 104.1 radio. I can believe that because a lot of the women are certainly not attractive. But that's from worldly men. So think about that. So thank you for your attention. If you have other questions about what's modest and what's not, we've got some other elders here, Wally or Craig or Doug. Be glad to answer those for you. So... thank you again for we have these forums and people are well behaved in them and I appreciate that very much. And it's not one of our most pleasant topics, but it's just something that has to be addressed. The Bible addresses it, and we want to learn how to be like Jesus Christ. The last song is what, Keith?
Take My Life and Let It Be.
How appropriate. Take My Life and Let It Be. And so, do I want my life to be for Christ? And Linda pointed out that very thing. That needs to be the focus. Whether it's in the language we use, the clothes we wear, the entertainment we engage in, the TV shows we watch, whatever it be. Take my life and let it be. So we're going to sing this song to make us hopefully make us concentrate on the commitment that we made when we said, I believe Jesus is Lord. If we can help someone in being true to that commitment, then certainly this will be an opportunity for you. Let us stand and sing as Keith leads us.